Today we have the great honor of being able to celebrate the feast of the Archangel Raphael. First of all, we have to recognize in even just that title that was just given, that the word archangel is used in two different senses. So first is the archangels, who are the second lowest, or the eighth of the nine choirs of angels, is called archangels. But then there is the other sense of it, and because arche is a Greek word that means leader. And so this is one of the leading angels, as he makes very clear, I am one of the seven angels that stands around the throne of God. Well, if he's one of the seven angels around the throne of God, that means that he is a seraph. And so the seraphim are the highest of the angels. And so we'd say, well, if he's the highest, why is he called an archangel? It's like, well, because it's used in that secondary meaning, the leading angels. And so that's what we're talking about here. Now, putting that into that context, you say, all right, so this is one of the seven highest angels in God's creation. One of the angels that stands around the throne of God ministering to him. If he's going to tell you something, listen to him. And again, think of where he is. This is somebody who literally is at the heights. And so he is sent down to earth for purposes of healing. That's what his name means, the physician or the remedy of God. And so he's there to be able to bring God's remedy. Remedy for what? Well, he tells us, they who commit sin and iniquity are enemies of their own souls. Bingo. They who commit sin and iniquity are enemies of their own souls. That's what we need to listen to. We need to recognize what it is that we do. Every time we sin, we hurt our own self. But because it's spiritual, we don't necessarily feel it. If there was something that caused great bodily harm, we would say, oh, I don't want to do that ever again. But because we're doing it to our souls, oftentimes it brings whatever sense of bodily pleasure or fun or excitement, we say, I want to do it more. It's like, no, we're harming ourselves. We're harming ourselves terribly. But we go on because he tells us that when he looks at Tobias, remember this is the very end of the book of Tobit that we're listening to today. And the very beginning, we hear about Tobias hearing that one of the Jewish people had been murdered. For the Jewish people, you have to have a burial before sunset of the day that the person dies. And so he's about to sit down and eat. First, he made sure that there was enough food for the poor, in case anybody was a beggar, that he would give some food to the poor. Now he gets up from the table and he goes and gets the body of this dead man. Now for the Jews, that makes one ritually impure because you've touched somebody who's dead. Yet it's a great act of charity on his part, and he buries the man. This is the second time that he's done that. The first time, of course, he was accused of murdering the person. And that's exactly what his wife is going to tell him he's going to be accused of again. You've already done this once, and look at all the trouble now you're doing again. And so you recognize he's putting himself in harm's way in order to do what's right. He could be accused of having murdered this man. He's making himself ritually impure, which means he's got to be purified before he can do anything else. And yet, he's willing to say, this must be the priority. I have to bury this man as a matter of charity. And so the angel says to him, look, because of the things that you did, because of the charity that you have shown, when you prayed, your prayer was answered. And then goes on to say that because you were acceptable to God, it was necessary that temptation should prove you. It was necessary that temptation should prove you. All this nonsense of God hates me because he's allowing this to happen. It's like, no. God is giving you an opportunity to prove the virtue, or the lack thereof, as the case may be in some of us. And so the temptation helps us to be able to see where we really are. Because in our pride, we'd like to think that we're really advanced and we're really holy. And as long as there isn't any temptation there, I haven't sinned. No kidding. But once the temptation is there, then what do we do with it? And so he needs to be tested, just like you and me. Now, his testing was not fun. A bird dropped his droppings in his eyes and he went blind. And then he had to be patient and he had to be charitable. And he started accusing his wife of things and she just railed right back at him. And we see exactly what happens to us when we're put in difficult situations. And so that's what God's trying to do, is help us to grow, which he does with Tobias. But then as his son goes to be able to do this work of charity, ultimately he's going to find himself a wife. His wife is possessed. There's a curse that's put upon her. She's been married 7 times, never made it to the marriage bed, because the curse was that any man who would take this woman with lust in his heart is going to die before they can consummate the marriage. And so the humor part in there is her father, Raguel, says, okay, if you want to marry my daughter, that's fine. So he writes up the contract for marriage, and then he goes out and starts digging the grave. Because this is number 8, we know what's going to happen. It's happened on the other 7. And so he's out there digging the grave, but then the angel had told Tobias how to break the curse. It was to pray and to make sure that there was no lust in his heart, to love this woman for who she truly is, not for her beauty and not for any selfish reason, whatever. And that broke the curse. And so we see that. And then the fish that he caught, so that he could bring the gall or whatever it was back, so that he could blow that into his father's eyes, the cataracts would fall out that were caused by the bird, and his father would be able to see once again. So you've got all these things that are going on, but you see how Raphael was healing all these people as they went along. The healing was part of the temptation. It was the fruit of it. So that's what he's going to do with you and me as well. If we're willing to try to do his will, if we're willing to be charitable, if we're willing to put others before ourselves, God is going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Now we're going to test you. Now we'll look at it and say, well, wasn't that a test enough? I mean, I've already done all these things. What else do I need to do? God's going to say, you need to do the same thing when it's more difficult to do it, with the same kind of disposition that you've got when it's more difficult to do it. And that's the struggle. But if we can cooperate, we can grow in virtue, we can continue to grow. So in the midst of the temptations that befall you, recognize what God is doing. He's actually rewarding you for your fidelity. He's not punishing you. He's rewarding you. You look at it and go, wait a minute, he's allowing the devil to attack me and that's a reward? Ultimately. Because what he's doing is using the devil against the devil's own self. Because if you are willing to cooperate with God's grace, then you're taking part with our Blessed Lady and stomping on the vile creature's head. So the very thing that Satan's doing to try to trip you up is the very thing that is going to destroy him. Because it's going to make you grow in holiness. It's going to help you to become more virtuous, more saintly. That's why God allows these things. Now, we, of course, especially being Americans, we just want a pill. Just infuse it into me. Why should I have to work at this? I just want it infused. Just make me a saint. Because after all, you're God and you can do anything. Just snap your finger and say, poof, now you're a saint. He could do that. And how much would it actually mean to you? Nothing. But when you have to work for it, when you have to really cooperate and do your part, it's going to mean everything to you. Because this is going to determine where you're going to spend eternity. Not by that meaning heaven or hell. I mean what position in heaven is going to be yours. That's why he's doing this. And if you can continue to grow in love, which is ultimately what it's all about, loving God and loving neighbor, then your ability is greater and your position in heaven is going to be higher. That's what he wants. He wants you to be in the highest position in heaven that you can possibly be, which means he wants you to love and be loved for eternity as much as you possibly can. So that's why he's allowing all this stuff to happen. That's why I keep saying in the time that we're living in, this is the single greatest time to be a Christian in the history of Christianity. Because look at what we're being faced with. Look what's going on. Rather than whining and complaining about it all, we should be rejoicing. Because God is giving us an opportunity like none other in history to be able to grow in holiness. The world needs saints. We have an archangel sent by God to essentially tell us how to do it. We need to quit sinning because we're hurting our own souls. We need to practice charity. And then in the midst of temptation, we need to prove the virtue. It's going to be, just as it says in Scripture, we're going to be proven like gold in the fire. That's what he's going to do. We read the lives of the saints and we see it in every one of their lives. None of them got off scot-free. Neither will we. But they are saints. They're in heaven. And that's where they want us to be too. So rejoice when the Lord does this. And then if you want to take out your anger anywhere, stomp the devil's head. It's just that simple. Guess you can take a little bit of pleasure in that. But don't get prideful, because then he's got an opening and he'll come right at you. So just stomp his head by doing what God is asking you to do. Be virtuous, be patient, be meek, be kind, be humble, whatever it is that he's asking. And that way you defeat Satan in the very means by which he's trying to defeat you. So that's the battle for your soul that's going on. Don't cooperate with Satan by sinning. Cooperate with God by growing in virtue, becoming the saint that he's called you and created you to be.